of our ministering, as we take out our document, Scripture Distinctions of Actualization in Eternity from Manifestation in Time. As we continue to convey the message and give insight that our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, so vividly gives us and so vividly gives entrance into the mind of God in the eternal settings, I should say, of Him having actualized all things by His divine decree. Amen. As we understand these things and we go forth on a daily basis, we are certainly blessed to go through many of the changes that the world is going through. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not saying we don't go through any changes. I go through changes as well as anyone else. Yeah. Amen. But at least there is the knowledge of the workings of God as having been accomplished, that as we are able to identify with it, it causes our hearts and our minds and our spirits, amen, to be settled. Yes, yes. Now, we will go into the section where we left off last week, amen. In the document, the section, the existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. Also, we will turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader this morning. Amen. As we move forward, in conveying all of this glorious information. Right. Amen. Again, all things were actualized, ontologized, or brought into being by and through God's decree. Amen. It is the essence of God having made it a thought mechanism that brings it into being rather than the things that we see manifested around us. Amen. There's a difference. Whatever you are seeing, whatever we're seeing are things, amen, that are echoes, are the actual testimony of what God has purposed. What God has purposed, He has also brought into being, brought to pass. All right, Brother Deacon, let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. As we shall from time to time, amen, continuously through our discourse, we shall be reading from that verse. Hopefully, amen, by the time we finish, everyone will have it etched into their spirits and minds and hearts just what is that conveyance is. All right, first read from the King James. Those that have the King James can open that, and then, of course, we do indeed, from the Greek text, we shall bring forth what it is convenient. All right? Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right? Read.
We're reading from Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
For by Him were all things created.
And of course, we will straighten that out. Keep going.
That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him.
All right, now let's go to the Greek text.
Colossians 1:16, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Him.
See the difference there. Amen. Yeah, my God. With epsilon ni, which is in, that is not by. Amen. Because in him. So all things are created in him.
Amen.
All right. Read.
Because in him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth.
See, notice that what was created in the heavens is on the earth. Amen. We have a tendency to take the earth and put it on an equal plane with the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Everything else that is going on out there, amen, in space, as we call it, in the universe, we put what's going on here on an equal plane with it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Earth is very minute and small part of God's creation.
Yes, we
must understand that, amen, that life does not consist solely of those things that we are engaged in on a day-by-day basis.
Right.
Amen. My aim, my prayer, I should say, is that all of those, at least those who are part of this ministry, amen, will learn to live in light of the big picture rather than the little picture.
Yeah.
The big picture is the whole universe and the whole plan and purpose and workings of God as has been conveyed to us through the writings of the revelation of the mystery that was given to the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
Amen, which speaks of the total work of God in the eternal realm of having created all things in him. And it goes on, that is the writings of the mystery. It goes on to give us much information that is not available in other portions of the scriptures.
Right.
And so we are blessed to have the essence of this knowledge dwelling within us, amen, so that on any particular day something is going on down here and it's not going right, amen, as we use the expression, things are not going good, things are not going right, amen. This is why Apostle Paul, amen, writes, because he had the full picture. He was able to write and speak to the end, amen, that all things, that God has worked all things, I haven't worked all things together for the good, for our good, for our good, amen. For those whom he has called to love him, all things work, amen, together for the good.
Yes.
And so with this understanding, we can truly say that we can thank God in all things. We can praise him in all things. We can magnify him in all things. We are always thankful and we're praising him and we're magnifying him. Amen. And we're giving glory to his name regardless of what is going on around him. Amen. Knowing that whatever is going down is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Amen. And so, amen, our lives are filled with joy and anticipation, amen, of a parameter that goes, that projects far beyond, amen, this globe that we live on, amen, the earth, as we see, amen, just how big God is, oh my God, in comparison to how minute and how confined and defined the earthwise that most of us have made him out to be.
Yeah.
Amen. So all things are created. Keep reading, Brother Deacon.
All things
created were created.
All things in the heavens,
on the earth,
and on the earth, the
visible,
and the invisible.
Whatever it can only either is either visible or is invisible. But it doesn't matter. Amen. Oh my God, it's all testimony.
Yeah.
Oh my God, isn't that something?
Yeah.
It the invisibleness of it, or invisibleness of it, Amen. It's incidental.
It
has no bearings as to the validity of the thing that exists.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
What exists? Mm-hmm. Oh my God! What exists? Amen. Is in the essence of what God, amen, has decreed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! And whether that thing manifests as being visible or invisible, amen. The reality of it is that God has willed it. God has said it. Oh my God! Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Hallelujah!
All right. The visible and invisible.
Uh-huh. Whether thrones,
mm-hmm,
or lordship,
uh-huh,
or rulers,
mm-hmm,
or authorities,
mm-hmm,
all things
through
him.
All things.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing goes down. Nothing exists other than God has brought it into being.
Yeah.
All things. Here you notice, amen, it's all means all, ta panda. Oh my God, all things, everything that can be thought of. Oh my God, so where is it? It is in him.
Yeah.
It is in him. It consists in him.
Yeah.
Now let's go to the document. I'm going to go back over a couple of things as we move forward. As we look at the fact that the existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. Again, the scriptures unequivocally state the fact that everything came into existence and was initialized by God's eternal decree. Now, this truth is in stark contrast to the erroneous proposition that some things have always existed. So I'm glad that now that scientists are on record, amen, even if they hadn't, it would make any difference, amen. But we say welcome aboard to the scientists who now, amen, say all things were, amen, had a beginning. Oh my God, hallelujah. Which means, amen, that nothing has always existed.
Right.
But there's this postulation that some things have always existed. Now this postulation is that some things have no beginning, which in turn yields illogical presuppositions that there are things that don't require origination. In other words, they aver that there are things that reside within themselves and are without any needs and thus are in need of nothing else other than that which is inherently within them to exist, or whatever, amen, they have construed as originating, amen, not having originated, amen. In this postulation, such things are assumed to be independent. And this is where they go way off the track. Be independent of anything greater or superior. Amen. Oh my God. And of course, yes, if you got something out there that didn't come out of God, then it must, be a challenge to God. Amen. In fact, amen, that there is something out there that's existing, amen, that God doesn't know anything about.
Right.
Oh my God, but according to the scriptures,
yeah,
this isn't possible because the formulation, as we've just read, of all things are traced to the creation of everything by God and are thus produced and subjected to his eternal plan, purpose, and will.
Yeah.
Therefore, there's no such thing as an eternal something or an eternal anything, in that any purpose of such would proffer the production of another eternal something. So there's one eternal something that didn't come forth as being created by God, then there must be other eternal somethings out there,
right.
Amen. Oh my God, And so now you've got the things out there, amen, that are unbridled because they have no origin. And if they have no origin, they have no control.
Right.
God. Oh, my God. And so there, the internal somethings out there would always be greater than everything else that exists.
Right.
As we've just read from Colossians, the actual Greek manuscript reading is literally translated, because all things were created in him, thus identifying the location of origination in the sphere of him in Christ. And you see that the scriptures impregnated with that phrase, in Christ, in him, amen, oh my God. All things were created in him, and we make this distinction of saying in him, amen, versus by him. And I have no problem with someone saying by him, because it actually does convey that those things are by the means of him, amen, which is the obvious intended meaning, except when we think of something by him, many times we also think of it as being remote from him,
right,
or separated in him and from him. And this is why we say in him, because the Greek word ektistē, created, rendered created, means to make found a form, something out of nothing, as we read from First John, from John, that is chapter 1, verse 3. Last week, it exclusively speaks God's eternal workings and the fact that it says not one thing that was made, amen, aside from him. Without him, and if it's not in him, it doesn't exist.
Amen.
Because in him is the essence of the creation of space, amen.
Right.
And there's no space other than in him, oh my God. The emphasis here is that God created all things. Hence, Jesus Christ, who is God, was the exclusive divine entity in creation, as we've just alluded to John 1 and 3. And of course, when we go into Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. So it's very important to note scriptural documentation of the extensiveness of what God created. He was the active entity through whom all things were created in the sphere of all the heavenlies which are upon the earth. Again, when we speak of creation, it is all found in him.
In
him.
In him.
Amen. If it's not in him, it does not exist.
Amen.
Also, we look at the Greek word uranes, rendered heavenless, which depicts all the regions beyond the earth. That is, the unlimitedness of spaciousness. Amen. I would not dare to align with those who claim that they been able to trace, amen, all that there is. And of course, each week and year go by, the scientists are finding stuff they've never seen before.
Right.
That doesn't surprise me.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I would say there is more that they don't know than they do know. Amen. So the heavens depict all of this. It is this sphere in which the universe exists, as far as the third heavens. And of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, refers to Christ having ascended far above all the heavens in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. So the word heavens apparently include everything in the universe that is apart from the earth. But what we are more familiar with than what most of us relate with is the earth, and of course, so we're all earth creatures, and we relate to that. I have no problem with that, except, amen, that the earth is a very small, miniature, amen, almost infinitesimal part of all that God is. But the earth is that area we live upon, which is described in the scriptures, that is under the heavens, Colossians 1:23. According to the scriptures, the universe consists of two spheres, that is, the heavens and the earth. Amen. That does not mean that we put them on an equal plane. Amen. But they are both created through the divine entity of Jesus Christ. Again, this is corroborated in John 1:3, states all things are made through him, and not one thing was made apart from him which was made. The same truth is confirmed in Hebrews 1:10. It states, you from the beginning, Lord, has founded the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hand. Hence, everything in the universe, whether it's upon the earth, or in all the conceivable surrounding space, yes, both, as we've said, visible things, that is the things that are seen, and the invisible things, that are things which are not seen, were created, initialized in, had originated from, in, and by God. Now, this changes the complexion of the origination of all things. And follow me closely. Now, I'm going to slow down and go through this, amen, and we'll probably go through this two or three times, amen. Make sure that we're all on the same page here. This is very, very important information. So it changes the original nation of all things from what to whom? And from something to someone. I think I'll repeat that. The origination of all things should not be focused so much on what, but whom. And not something, but someone. Amen. Human intelligence is capable of impressing upon the brain only a very small part that which has been created. Yet, in spite of the vastness of both that which is invisible as well as that which is visible, nothing exists in the universe apart from God having created it. Whether it be so minute that it cannot be seen, or so gargantuan that it cannot be comprehended. This leaves no room for anything to have come into existence through the human theory of evolution. And we're not going to even waste time, amen, in debates. And someone comes and they start debating and so forth and so on. And we can use that time, amen, looking into the scriptures, amen, and seeing what the Word of God is saying. The scientists are all over the place, amen. And, of course, you believe the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Amen. That evolution theory is actually a testimony that the humanistic depraved mind is estranged from God.
Right.
Amen. Go to Romans 1:20 through 23. Amen. And you want to see where evolution comes from, and that'll give you a pretty good idea. But the only, amen, adduced to this type human speculating is the spiritual comprehension that the existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. Now when we look at the universe, amen, and most of us, we never think about that because, amen, our world is where we live, our neighborhood, and where we raise our families, and then of course that's the real world too. But what we're saying is that it the essence of life projects so much farther than that. Amen. We got to stop looking at life just about what's happened in your town, your city, your country. Amen. In your household. Amen. And where you live, and where you sleep, where you work. Amen. Huh? Amen. We have we must go back and we must look at the entire general picture of things. And so if things go wrong on earth, amen, things haven't all gone wrong. You know, there are many things they're saying. Even I was watching on television and I was reading this week, and a scientist said that the galaxy that we live in, which is the Milky Way, is in a head-on collision with other galaxies. Amen. You know, they got this thing out here how to deal with the asteroids that are heading toward Earth, how to deflect them so that they don't hit the Earth. Amen. Isn't that strange? You know, of course, it starts with us thinking that we can control things on Earth, yes. And so now, amen, we try to figure out a way to control things in heaven. Yes.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
So, oh my God. And so God, amen, needs our help. Isn't that strange? You know, but as we look at the universe, it is defined as the summation of all particles and energy that exists, and the space-time in which all events occur. Amen. Portions of the universe are observable, others are not. Amen. Then the part that is observable, amen, there is much speculation as to what is seen. Amen. If very little is understood concerning them. We have physical astronomy, and they're trying to attempt to describe the whole of space-time, including all matter and energy and events that occur as a single system corresponding to some mathematical model. Amen. And so they do this because they still want to sort of have that thing set up where there's got to be some rationale,
right.
Amen, outside of the fact,
yeah.
Amen, that the superior God,
yes,
had made all things are in him,
yes,
and that he controls all things, amen. So they have generally accepted scientific theory which describes the origin and evolution in terms of terminology of Big Bang, the Big Bang, amen, cosmology, which describes the expansion of space from extremely hot and dense state of unknown characteristics, amen. And so when you get into how they view it, amen, they construe, amen, and teach, and read many books, and many are under this impression the universe went a rapid period of cosmic inflation that flattened out nearly every initial irregularities in the energy density. And then, of course, where does energy come from? Huh? Where does energy come from? Amen. Huh? What energy is the enablement of the ability, amen, to express, to make an expression. Amen. Oh, and whatever that expression might be, amen. And the scriptures, amen, teaches us, and this is what we will look to, amen, because when you look through all of that other stuff, there's still some question about, because every time they say, well, this comes from that, and they say, well, now, where did that come from?
Right.
They say, well, this came, well, now, where did that come from?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my God. It, it's not about what, but it's who. Amen. To whom is ascribed all of these things in the universe? Amen. And they have this complete theory of how things come to pass. But the real issue is it possible for an eternal something to exist without an eternal someone? And if so, how? If so, why? The essence of existence within itself demands a plan. It demands a will. It demands a purpose, of which there is no such originality in an eternal something, as the case of fact is that such has no relevancy with respect to time and power. If there is an eternal something, there has to be an eternal space for that something. There has to be an eternal energy for that something.
Right.
There's got to be an eternal plan,
right,
will, and purpose for that eternal,
right,
something.
Right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an eternal something that is unproduced cannot be eternal. And hence, not at all able to do whatever it must be possible to do in order to function as an independent entity. This, in the most definitive way, demonstrates that the quality to produce, not quantity to manifest, is the underlying issue. I think I'll repeat that. The quality to produce is the underlying issue, not the quantity to manifest. So what does this indicate about the postulation of an eternal something? It obviously exudes that it is not functional solely in and of itself. Because for something to exist, someone is required to capacitate it. For instance, follow me now. An eternal something can't have a beginning. No, not really, in that such has needs, which it cannot of itself provide, and anything that can possibly be accomplished by its existence must be sourced from some outside entity. Follow me now. Thus it is impossible for something's capacity to be supplied by anything. Well, what are you talking about? You know, there's something's out there, amen, its source and origin is unknown, its ability to function, the source of its ability to function is unknown, amen. And so it's just floating out there, amen, unbridled,
yeah,
amen, unchallenged, amen, unless man comes up with some way to deal with it. We just leave God out. Oh yeah, we leave God out of the picture, except we say he's here to aid us,
amen,
to help us, and to guide us. But you know, they always put the focus on us, other than putting the focus on God. But what we must understand is, it is impossible for something's capacity to be supplied by anything, and that such must be provided by someone. Hence, something's origin was truly sourced from someone in lieu of something or anything.
Amen.
No getting around it. If that thing exists, God is the origin of it. God is the origin. If it exists, God is the origin. God is the source. It must be traced back to God's purpose. God's will. And get this, God's plan. Nothing is happening out there that is a purpose outside of God's. So whatever's going on in your life this morning, whether you like it or whether you don't like it, amen, it's part of God's plan. It's not just some event that's unbridled that's happening out there. And this is going to help some of us.
Yes, sir.
When we get in trouble. Because it breeds insecurity to think that there are some forces that are just moving out there unbridled. It gives us more security to know that whatever that thing is going down and how bad it might be slapping us around.
Yeah.
To know that it is within God's purpose.
Hallelujah.
It is more secure to know that God's got control of that thing.
Amen.
And to say, God doesn't have anything to do with this. God, God didn't. No, the devil, you know. My God, wouldn't we be in a fix if the devil was controlling something?
Big
trouble.
Huh? Hallelujah.
Big trouble. The devil's power. Where does the devil's power come from? Comes from God. Now he is the accommodator, and yet he'll do anything, amen, to assist and work and help in the manifestation of chaos and depravity. That's what he was created for.
Come on,
that's his job.
All right, come on.
That's his job. That's his job. Oh my Lord. Confusion?
Yes.
Amen. That's the devil's job.
Amen.
Oh my God. Amen. Chaos. Hallelujah. Things just all out of whack.
Hallelujah.
That's the devil's job.
Hallelujah.
But God's in control.
Come on,
Amen.
Amen.
Now, as we move into the home stretch. Neither something nor anything can independently emerge from the large, pitch black, empty sphere of nothingness. They call it the black hole. And they say once something goes in the black hole, it's gone forever, it's lost forever. You know, and that, you see the theories that's out there. Amen. Oh my God, huh? Saying that in the black hole there's annihilation and can nothing be destroyed unless God destroys it.
Amen.
I must understand that. There's nothing that can be destroyed unless God destroys it. The only one that can destroy something is the one who created it. Here's what we're saying. The one who takes it out has to be the one who brought it in. And nothing can take it out that hasn't brought it in.
All right, now, come on. Come on, hallelujah.
If there's a black hole, God created that.
Yes.
There's no such thing as there being some empty space of nothingness. Because not one molecule, a hint of anything, can be traced to an eternal something. Only someone. Who is the someone?
God.
He has always existed. He is the origin and the cause of everything and anything that can be and has been done as initialized and actualized in and by, and thus all has originated from Him. Again, we shall be for the next few outings beating this drum that the premise must be reinforced that the existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. It was exclusively in the sphere of eternity that all things were determined in regards to their purposed production. Everything that was produced is according to God's purpose. This dictates what, how, and when such was actualized in God's eternal decree. And we shall go back over this again because this is information I think that has to be repeated over and over and over again for it to resonate. Amen. What about the what and the how and the when? Amen. It's all produced according what?
God's
to purpose. It is in God's decree according to His purpose. According to His purpose. This is the only way that something can exist. And that all things must function according to God's purpose and design. And this fact should sell the unscriptured notions that there are some things in and of their independent functions that are capacitated to the side of determining other things. And what happens is we bring that into the salvation aspect of being saved.
Amen.
That men must participate. And without mankind's participation, God can't get the job done. In other words, He can't save you without your cooperation. And see how that's how all of this gets started. We shall go back in minute detail and we go to the scriptures that in fact dispels all of this. So the only way that something can exist is that the function of it must be according to God's purpose and design.
Yes.
This fact should sell the unscriptured notions, again as we've said, that some things, their independent functions are capacitated to decide or determine other things. For them to do such, they must possess independent abilities to effectuate decisions. And much of so-called orthodoxy, and this is why we're not the least bit intimidated what's traditional, what's orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
Our only question is, what is scripture?
Hallelujah.
Rightly divided.
That's right.
And exegeted.
Amen.
Amen. But in much of so-called orthodoxy, humans, someone in his thought or construed, someone that is humans must choose to effectuate a change of things. You know, as I said last week, the poet said, and many theologians have said it from the pulpit, and some people make that as scripture. And the poet said, Lord, allow me to change the things that I can. Accept the things I can't change. Change the things I can change. Accept the things I can't change. And to know the difference between the two. Amen. That's crazy. There's nothing that you can change. There's nothing that you can influence. Now someone's going to say, well, he's teaching that we should sit back and we should not do anything. No. What you do is that which you are caused to do.
That's right.
And what you would do is part of God's plan.
Hallelujah. Come on with it.
But we must understand that the thing that is being done and the person that's associated with it, they're all moving according to the drumbeat, amen, of what God has decreed. And our idea and focus should be that God is running the entire show.
Amen.
As we said, God's running the show.
Hallelujah.
It's all moving according to the will of God.
Yes.
Nothing is happening out there. A fly doesn't wiggle its left wing. A leaf can't fall from a tree way deep in the forest. And even if no human knows it,
right.
It doesn't matter.
That's right.
It doesn't work that way.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's the purpose of God. So what's the purpose of God? Nobody saw it. Amen. We've been taught that everything revolves around us.
Yes.
That's so much that's going on out there in the universe that we don't know about anything funny.
Amen.
Huh? The forces that are moving, amen, the billions of stars that's in the Milky Way, which is the galaxy that our solar system is in, the billions of galaxies that are in the universe, and whatever's out there is going on, all of this is moving and, oh my God, functioning and transpiring, and we don't know about it. So it doesn't matter that we don't know about it. God's purpose does not revolve around humankind. We're but a small part of the picture.
Yeah.
And we must understand that. When it comes to salvation and eternally who we're in Christ, just like you have nothing to do with everything else that's going on out there, you had nothing to do with that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God that he has made me a son of God, but I don't have anything to do with it. Thank God I'm Christ Jesus, but I don't have anything to do with it. I'm not in Christ because of something I did.
Amen.
Something I consented to.
Amen.
Something I agreed with.
Amen.
Something I participated in. No, it's about him.
Yeah.
It's all about him. About 3 minutes, we'll close out. Amen. We'll take this up next week. But this would, the fact that we think that many of us, that we must choose to effectuate to change the thing, this would qualify us as determinable in and of our inherent power to effectuate such independently from God. I mean, if you got to make a choice, then that choice got to be outside of God. Because if you're making a choice in God, it's not your choice, it's His choice. You can't have it both ways. No. So this postulation, in fact, asserts that some things and or someones have always functioned independently of God's enablement. And we think that way because, like I said last week, when we said, Lord, help me, we mean, Lord, assist me. Instead of saying, Lord, enable me.
Right. Amen.
Even the Old Testament lets us know that there's nothing that we can do without Him. Mm-mm. You don't move, you don't breathe, mm-mm, you don't think. All of this is enabled by Him because everything is in Him.
In Him. Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh,
Lord. More importantly, as I close, this averts a flawed impression that some things are independent operants. Is that crazy? Is that not crazy? Independent operants. So we're down here, we're doing things, we're doing outside of God's enablement, and you know, we do things, and then He gets upset, and then He retaliates. Mm-hmm. That's the picture that they have painted of God.
Right.
My God, if God retaliated, we'd all be wiped out.
Amen.
If it was about retaliation, we'll all be wiped out. We'll all be wiped out. So it's not about that. Independent operants, freely capacitated to exert determinable actions into the creation process. He said, no, we're not thinking that God created it, but we got to run it. No, let's see. We see that. We give God credit for being the creator. Men of us will give God the credit for being a planner.
Amen.
Not an enabler. We have plans. We have agendas.
Right.
But God doesn't have one. When in fact we don't have an agenda.
Amen.
We don't have agendas. Not really. Not really. No such thing as an independent operant.
Amen.
Freely capacitated to exert determinable actions to the process. Here we close with one question. What would that mean? What would that mean? What does that mean? When we say that there are forces out there, or that we can exert forces independent of God, that would mean that events can only occur with the cooperation and participation of such things are such ones. So that things out there that, you know, it depends upon what we do is how that thing's going to turn out.
Amen.
If we do A, it'll turn out one way. And so that we're saying that there are things out there that are not planned and not fulfilled. And then it's up to us to bring that thing. Next week, we shall go into the doctrine of eternal determinations as it is taught by much of Christendom in the sphere of time. The doctrine of eternal determinations in the sphere of time. And this is what's been taught, especially in salvation.
Amen.
What you do, decision you make, many ministers give a call for the convert to come to Christ, say, decision you make will determine where you should spend eternity. You know, we shall deal with that next week. But it's not about us. It's all about Him. Eternal means God. Amen. And when we say God, we're talking about someone. And when we talk about someone, we must understand that everything is traced to Him. So it's not about some things or some occurrences or some situation or some function or even someone. It is the specific one who is God. All right, we'll go forth and we'll move on this next week. God bless you as we move forward.